Exodus chapter 25.
In verse 2, it's this: Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Is this a precious thing? You know, nothing, beloved, except which is given, whatever it is, willingly from the heart, is of any good to God. He sets store by nothing else, whether it be a widow's mite or whether it be a Buckingham Palace or something like that. It doesn't matter, beloved, even if it's you trying to give yourself God. If you don't do it willingly, from the heart, it's unacceptable to Him. You see, when God talks to us, beloved, He opens His heart to us. It's all heart business with God. If we would only realize this, if we would deeply and forever take into ourselves that God isn't coming out with a lot of words. He isn't just talking religion, but that He is moving to us in His heart. It's His heart that's concerned. We would perhaps the more readily cease from our own words and talkings and our own religious gestures and practices, and move from the heart too. That's what He really wants. And of course, that's the thing in everyone that the devil has taken possession of, the heart. And it's that that he has frozen stiff, or turned solid, or bound up in chains, or done something like this, so that men and women can love sin desperately, but love God not at all. It's this that the whole thing is around, and God is moving on this heart level, beloved. And this is what He's wanting. He's opening His heart. And in verse 8, He says, Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Go down there and say to the people, Let me come and live with you, will you? I'm talking from my heart, Moses. It wasn't the age when God could come and live in hearts. But nevertheless, He said, I still want them to give from their heart and make me a house, a tent, a tabernacle to live in. It's a precious thing. You see, even though it was not permitted for God to come and really live in every individual heart in those days, wasn't permitted, of course, because Jesus Christ had not come, and Jesus Christ had not really sent the Holy Ghost, for it's only by the Spirit that God can dwell in a man's heart. By the third person of the Trinity does God dwell in the human heart. And so until that glorious day should come, which we call the day of Pentecost, and the era of the Spirit dawn, God said, Now tell them to make me a house. Nevertheless, I still love them, and I want to be with them. I want to be down there in the midst of them. I don't want them to think of me a long way off. I want them to know that I'm easy to get at. I'm easy to reach, you see. This is the thought behind it all. And then He says, And you must make this thing according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. And so He goes down and talks about the ark. And in verse 16, he says, thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half thereof. And he goes on and gives the what it's to be made of, and the shape and the dimensions. And in verse 21 he says, thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, I very much doubt whether in such a company as this that there is anyone who hasn't been in a place where somebody gets up and gives their testimony. And all you hear is man's testimony. I say, I want to give my testimony. Did you ever know that God wanted to give his? God wanted to give his testimony. Precious, isn't it? Have you ever heard God give his testimony? Why? This is what he said to Moses. Now, Moses, I'm going to give my testimony. I want the children of Israel to have my testimony. The thing that I say, the thing that's real. Tell them to make me a house. Tell them to make an ark. Tell them what to make it of. And then I'll give my testimony. And you're to put it in that ark. And this is what he says. In verse 22, there I will meet with thee, where I give my testimony. That's where I'll meet thee. Praise God. You see? And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony. For of all things that I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Hallelujah. That God was prepared to come and commune with his people from between the 2 cherubim above the blood-stained mercy seat as it later became, providing that his testimony was underneath it in that ark. Now, I suppose that you know what the testimony of God was. Let's turn to chapter 34. In chapter 34, we find God speaking to Moses again. After the terrible tragedy that had taken place, in that God had had Moses up in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had given Moses his testimony. Praise God. He'd given him a lot. And Moses came down the mountain with God's testimony. And you know that as he got down the bottom, he saw that they'd made a golden calf, these children of Israel, and that they were worshipping a golden calf. And Moses broke the testimony of God. He shattered it. The mediator of the old covenant shattered the testimony of God. What a difference between him and the mediator of the new covenant. Moses shattered the testimony of God because of sin. Because of the people's sin. Sin. He shattered the testimony of God. And so God says, well, I'll give you my testimony again. And so he has to hew out 2 tables of stone in verse 1, like the first 2 tables. And he says, I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And so we know what happened. And as we draw down to the end of that this chapter, we find this. And he was there, verse 28, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. That's the second lot. He had 80 days and 80 nights with the Lord. He'd never eaten any food, and he'd never drunk any water. And God wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And he had this glorious thing. Here it is. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony, God's testimony, in his hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. What a glorious thing. And beloved, this man only had God's testimony in his hand. He only had it in his hand. And he comes down the mountain and, oh, he's shining. He's absolutely shining. And he's only got it in his hand, and he's not going to hold it there for more than about 5 minutes. He's going to go down there, and he's going to put it in the ark. He's going to put it in the ark that's called the Ark of the Testimony. The testimony being the covenant. The Ark of the Covenant of God. God's testimony. And God on oath. Praise God. In that lid, that golden lid, that mercy seat, was to be sprinkled with the blood. And there was the blood of the oath, the covenant, the testimony of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And oh, Moses' face shone. Shone and shone. He was radiant with it. The testimony of God. Now, you know what the testimony of God was. You don't you? We call them the Ten Commandments. But it was God's testimony. You see, beloved, God has always been absolutely positive about this testimony that he makes. If you turn to the 15th chapter of the book of the Revelation now. You read this. John, the Revelator, he's been caught up to heaven. And he says in verse 5, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. You see, God was working from that place. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. God has always been giving his testimony in heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a temple apparently built for the tabernacle of the testimony of God in heaven. How about that? And all they hear in that temple is God's testimony. God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. They don't hear what men are saying up there. They don't hear men's testimonies up there. They don't hear angels' testimonies. I mean, I don't know what kind of a testimony they may have. I mean, you might get an angel and say, well, do you know, I'd like to testify today, all you fellow angels and archangels and the cherubim, I'd like to testify today that in the day that Lucifer decided to rebel and he deceived the hearts of thousands of angels and they swept down with him to hell, and some are in chains of darkness. Glory to God, he saved me from it. That's right. You say, where did he get that from? In his imagination? No, it's in the Bible. I've only put it together. I put it into the lips of Michael or Gabriel. That's all I said. They could give tremendous testimonies. Whew. Do you know Lucifer's become the devil? God saved me from that. Hallelujah! Something to testify about. Perhaps you don't think angels have got any testimonies. We know you've got one, don't we? You give it to us every week. But it's really the testimony of God that's the important thing that I... It's the testimony of God. God's faithfulness. God's word. God's oath. God's covenant. It's what God says that counts. It shall stand forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I reckon when we get to heaven, we shan't be nipping around saying, well, sister, how did you get here? Please tell us. Brother, now, what happened to you, brother? I want to listen to the Lord now. Be quiet. I want to listen to the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Some people are such chatterboxes, they never hear what God says. But that box, that ark, wasn't a chatterbox. It had got God's covenant in it. It wasn't a box for chatter. It was a box for God's testimony. And it was the most precious thing they had. The most precious thing they had. Glory. They kept it there, right in the center of that nation. And the whole of the national life revolved around it. They were the people of God, and the people of God only because of that testimony. Amen. Because of that testimony. And it was a precious testimony, but nobody ever understood it. Nobody ever understood it. I don't know whether you understand it. Do you understand that testimony? The Ten Commandments? Do you? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If I said stand up, anybody who could repeat the Ten Commandments, how many of you would jump up? From memory, I mean. The Ten Commandments of God. But nobody understood them, stands them. Because, you see, it was God's testimony. God's testimony. Moving from the depths of his heart in the power of his being. And you know, he never said that you mustn't commit adultery. Did you know that? God never said that you mustn't steal or mustn't murder. Did you know that? God didn't say that. He said, he didn't say you mustn't covet somebody else's wife. So don't start clapping your hands and say, hooray then, we can. But I always thought that that's what God did say. That's not what he said. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's his testimony. His testimony isn't you mustn't. He's too clever for that. He's very wise. Amen. He said, thou shalt not. You know, he might have been talking to Jesus Christ, because that's true. Of course he shan't. He could have said, no, Father, of course I shan't. I'll go down there. I won't commit adultery with a woman at the well. I won't go down there and covet somebody's ox or his ass. He only ever asked for an ass once when he wanted to ride into Jerusalem. That's all. He didn't covet anybody's ass. He must have walked thousands of miles on his two feet with the gospel. Wouldn't ride on an ass, he might pass someone by. He wanted to talk to everybody. Hallelujah. This is the wonder of it. He wanted to minister to everybody. But glory be to the name of the Lord. God's testimony was that thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not. Hallelujah. I fancy God having confidence in somebody like that. This is God's confidence. He's not speaking from inhibitions. He's not speaking from psychological angles at all. He is just testifying. And who's he talking to, pray? Is he talking to you? Is he talking to you? Is the whisper of the voice of God talking in your heart? Is it? Oh, praise God. Let's have a look into the Psalms. Into the Psalms. And there, beloved, we can read some glorious truth. Listen to this one. I'm reading from Psalm 40. And in the 40th Psalm, this is it, what David is saying, and he's really saying it about Jesus. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Here, someone's got his ear down to the heart of God. God wasn't requiring all these things. This is what was all known in heaven. The sacrificial system was only instituted simply because, like somebody like old Moses representing the people, smashed the covenant. They smashed God's testimony. So they had to have lots of blood offerings and I don't know what, sacrifices. But here's a conversation that might well have gone on in heaven. They said, well, you don't want sacrifice. Look, and who's this talking? It's Jesus, of course. This is the conversation that goes on in the Godhead, in the Blessed Trinity. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There it is. Praise God. Lo, I come, he says. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And you know, God's will's a wonderful thing. You know, we get this idea. This is how distorted and twisted human minds have become because of sin and the operation of the devil and his host of wicked spirits on human minds and things. It's so distorted as to think that the will of God's a terrible thing. Oh, this great strong-willed person that says you've got to do this and you mustn't do that and this, that and the other. Well, it's nothing like that at all. It's a confident, glorious encouragement. Thou shalt not. Of course you won't. God's telling you you won't.
Oh, praise the Lord.
That's right. You wonder why I say people never read their Bible properly. They never do. Yeah. You see, it's all right. Thou shalt, you won't. What if everybody else does? You won't. You won't steal somebody's ox or ass. You won't do murder. You see? It's all encouragement. It's God's confidence in his people. Now, this is his testimony. It shows a real wholesome personality, not a twisted, sadistic mind. It shows someone who can really trust. It shows someone who's real to know. Hallelujah. Perhaps someone said, "Ah, but you see, if you don't know me," he wouldn't say that to me. You see, that's right. But glory be to God, I can hear it. And this book, beloved, among many other things, is the wonderful book that gives us the actual words of conversations that goes on between the Father and the Son. Here we have one of them. Jesus is saying, "I've come to do thy will. It's thy delight, Father." To have a father like me, no wonder he gets in awe. "I wish you knew my Father. I wish you knew my Father. I wish you knew God. He's not the monster that you think he is, and the devil's made you believe he is. Oh, I wish you knew my Father." One day he said to his Father, and his disciples heard him say it. He said, "Oh, Father," he said, "this is life eternal. Oh, that they may know thee." Oh, to let these people know thee as I know thee. You wouldn't want to sin anymore. You wouldn't want to do one thing to displease him anymore. You wouldn't want to go the way of the lecher. You wouldn't want to go the way of the harlot. You wouldn't want to go the way of the thief. You wouldn't want to go the way of the drunkard. You wouldn't want to go the way of the gambler. You wouldn't want to go the way of the murderer and the lustful. All our sinning is based upon not knowing. We don't know inside. We don't know. Oh, we know all about right and wrong, or good and evil. We know all about that, but we don't know. We've got an inward ignorance, a terrible soul-damning ignorance inside us. That's what we've got. Until we start to hear the testimony of God. For, if I may say, in order of revelation, before this great testimony, God gave it to men, in John chapter 1, we read of someone, and it says, right in the third verse, "In the beginning was the Word." Hallelujah. The Word. Amen. Before the testimony was given, before Moses came down the mountain with the two slabs of stone in his hand, the Word was. And we're told in verse 14 of that chapter, if you're looking, and please look, I want you to see what your Bible says. It says that that Word became flesh, and they called him Jesus, the one who had said to his Father, "I delight to do thy will, Father. Thy law, it's in my heart." Glory be to God. And he comes down onto this earth, and he lives on this earth, taking your flesh in which you've sinned, taking the flesh in which you've made an utter mess of your life at some time or another, taking the same flesh, and they're just showing the life of one who's living by the testimony of God. That they are God's testimony. Hallelujah. What a tremendous thing this is. Now, beloved, I don't know whether you have this great testimony of God in your heart. Have you? Have you? I wonder if in your heart this great testimony is. No, I shall not. I shan't, Lord. This is no boast. It's you responding to the testimony of God. There's no boasting in that. It's your heart saying, Lord, I won't. Thank you for telling me this, Lord. Thank you for telling me this. Oh, please forgive my stupidity. And I thought you were saying, you mustn't, you mustn't, you mustn't. When you were telling me all the time, I was like, well, I shouldn't. You see. Amen. Now then, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, there is a life for us all to live. A life that God has given clear in Jesus Christ. That he came down that word beyond the testimony of God, glory. He lived that life out in the flesh. Perfectly to the very end. And when everybody was hating him and hurting him and rejecting him to all eternity, so far as they knew, he was loving and bleeding and pleading and yielding for you. Amen. That you, my beloved brother and sister, might see that presently as, well, let's read the Bible, shall we? Let's look into 1 Corinthians. Presently, as this great apostle Paul writes, because what God has done in Christ, and in the first epistle to the Corinthians, and the first chapter, we read this, verse 3, grace be unto you. Do you want it?
Yes.
Open your hearts then. This isn't talk, it's not a chatterbox this. Open your hearts, you can have it. No need for you to sin anymore. No need for you to break down anymore. No need. Grace be to you. It's God saying it. Open up and you'll have it. He doesn't speak empty words. Grace be to you. Have you got it?
Yes.
Grace be to you. And peace. How about that? No peace if there's no grace, I can assure you. Peace came by grace. Keep that very clear. Peace comes by grace. And if you won't have grace, you won't have peace. And that's the end of it. Glory and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now you see, you say, oh, Father, I wish they knew you. I wish they knew you. Now, something's happened. Something's happened. His Jesus' wish has been fulfilled. He can't make requests and they fail. Amen. Jesus got his prayers answered. Bless God. You see, here it is. It's happened. The glorious thing has taken place. And this is what it says about these people who are God's children. I thank my God, verse 4, always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hey, that Jesus can walk about on the earth and say, thy law's within my heart, Lord Father. I do the things that please thee. Oh, God heard the confirmation of it in another man's heart. That in the mouth of two witnesses every word should be established. That here's a woman confirming what Christ says. The testimony of Christ confirmed in your heart.
And hear the man saying, well, Jesus, you said, you won't commit adultery. Well, neither do I. Hallelujah. Won't you? No, I shan't. Well, how come? How does this happen? You won't still... Neither will I, Lord. Bless God. See? Well, it's so precious. The testimony of Christ. God loves it. God loves it. The testimony of Christ confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift. Let the testimony of Jesus Christ be confirmed in you and you can have everything. That's what God said. Come behind in no gift whatsoever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many gifts have you come behind in? How many gifts has Roar of Fellowship come behind in? And Leinster Fellowship, and let me go around, Exeter Fellowship, where do you all come from? Where, how many gifts do you come behind? I won't mention yours. Black Horse, yes, I've got Black Horse since then. Amen. This is the tremendous thing, beloved, that God wants us to see. The testimony of Christ confirmed in us. And this is the way that the Spirit of God is moving in these days, beloved. Now, I don't know whether the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. So we'll look into the book of the Revelation again. You know, the Bible is a wonderful book, isn't it? It's a wonderful book, is the Bible. It's self-explanatory. Why do people buy commentaries on the Bible? I don't know. It's self-explanatory. It explains itself. And so, you start to read in the book of the Revelation. And we get to John in the first chapter. And he says, I, John, in verse 9... who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he went to the isle of Patmos for. That's what he went to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He sort of knew this when he went. He really did. But after he'd been there some while in this slave gang, as I often say, he didn't retire to a nice place to write his book like modern people have to do. He was in a chain gang. And he wrote his book because he wrote it by revelation. Yes. He wrote it by revelation. That's the difference. Glory be to God. Revelation's a mighty thing. He's here, beloved. And he's there for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the word of God. That's what he's there for. And my... he got it. He received it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can picture this great man, John. And you know, I want to confide in you. You may be different from me, and I suppose we've all got our personal preferences and choices. And your favorite man in the Bible after Jesus Christ might be Joseph, or it might be David, or it might be Elijah. Or it might be Paul, or it might be Peter, but my favorite is John. My favorite is John. I have great fellowship with John. Oh, I have marvelous fellowship with John. I can see this man there on that island, and he's loved and he's given. And he's written such glorious words as, God is love. Little children, let's love one another. Oh, beloved, let us love.
love is of God. That's the way he's written. He's written such words as, I am the good shepherd. He'd written such words when he'd lived in toils and tribulations and troubles, as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My word, it's wonderful to have fellowship with the real saints of God in spirit, beloved. Marvelous. And he's there to get the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, as this great revelation comes to him, do you know the sort of things he sees about this testimony? I don't know whether you really want this testimony of Jesus Christ. I know it's glorious to have your heart state changed inside, and the fear conditions removed, and the misunderstandings and misinterpretings of God's glorious commandings. That his commandings don't come along the line of enforcement, but they come along the line of tender whispering into your heart that you're going to do it all right. He's not saying you can't do it, you can't do it. He's saying you can do it, you can do it, you shall do it. You're mine. I'm going to see you do, you see. Amen. And you've been through such terrible days, haven't you? When the devil stood over you and he said, you won't do it, you won't do it, you can't do it. And you said, oh, I can't, Lord, I can't, I can't. You see? You see? You see, don't you? Yes, you see. God takes the veils off eyes if they're willing to be shown. And I want to tell you something in all you fellowships, and you've got your elders sitting here with you, some of you. If anybody stands up in your fellowship and their voice is like a ton of bricks, and they wave a great big stick over your head, although it might be a hymn book in their hand, and they make great prophetic statements, and they make harsh and terrible stertorian hoots, you want to know that whatever they say isn't of God. For God is first love. And God is first an attitude. And God is very concerned for people like you and me that don't know anything. He loves the sin of it. He loves it. If you don't only believe that God loves you. If you only believed he loved you, if you really did, if you believed he thought the world of you, if you believed that, really did, now you'd be a new person. You would, as true as true. You know, I believe God loves me. I was going to say, like no one else on earth, but you know what I mean. I believe God loves me. And you know what that does? Doesn't give the devil a chance. If you believe that God loves you, praise God, see? And then you believe that in his love he says, now come here. Don't do that anymore. Damn it! Stop it! He doesn't say that. That's not God. That's not God. That's not the God that I've discovered anyway. Do you know there was in times when I was in my hardest and far off conditions, he just sort of came in so sweetly and then, you know, when you really know God like this is the test of a man, you can't help being like that with others. Now, you know now whether people know God really. You can't help it. You just can't help it. You don't read the Bible to find out a scheme of handling people, or how you should do it, or go to schools for deliverance, or evangelism. God save us. It's so natural. You just start behaving properly. You see? Well, anyway, it's marvelous to be like this. And John's there on that island. He's got all this marvelous love in his heart. And if you want to know where the love and where the fountains of eternity rise in a man's heart, and if you want to know how best he can speak with the eloquence of the Spirit and write such things as came from this man's pen, I'll tell you this. It's being in tribulation for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Don't you think it comes from floating up here and there like a feather in a breeze? It doesn't. Amen. Beloved, when men wrote this truth, they wrote their blood. So that, I don't know whether you would have liked this revelation and testimony to your heart, you might have said, oh, please let me go home, you see. But John was on the Isle of Patmos. Because in the sixth chapter, he's looking up to heaven. And he sees that the Lamb opens a seal on a book. The book you'll find in chapter 5, verse 1. And in chapter 6, verse 1, the Lamb opens one of the seals of this seven-sealed book. And as your eye runs down the chapter, you find this. In verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. My word, we were talking about the altar last night. Now, usually under altars, you find ashes. But under this altar, in the Revelation, he finds souls. Praise God. These people have been on the altar for God, and then burned away, their soul remains. Glory be to God. The soul state in which they'd been living on the earth was there, under the altar of God. God, kept, precious. Their period of living on the earth for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years after they'd been born again hadn't turned to ashes. Amen. So, glory. Now listen to them. It says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost not thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Do you know what had happened? They'd been thrown to the lions in the Colosseum in Rome. They'd been torn to pieces. They'd been butchered by men like Saul of Tarsus, who had to confess later, when he was converted to Jesus Christ, that he was a murderer. He had to say that though he's an apostle, he said he wasn't meet to be called an apostle, because he had formerly persecuted the church of Christ. Yeah. Praise God. They, the last vision they had on earth, was of a spear running at them to slit them in two, or a lion raging on them to eat their last hopes out of them of living on the earth. Or stones, asked Stephen, crashing into them. This was their last on earth. In the arena, on the chopping block, on the stoning pitch, in the prison and the torture chamber. But they were on the altar. They'd been on the altar. They lived for God because they got the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. And old John, he said he was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then God gives him this vision about souls under the altar. And the souls saying, he said to the souls, you've got to stop there till all these others that are going to be put on the altar and martyred and slain join you. And John said, what? He was thought, oh, I better give up this Christian life because I'm one of these. I shall finish up a martyr. I shall finish up. I always thought Peter was wrong when he said, Lord, I'll die for you. Do you see? But you see, Peter wasn't wrong. John didn't think he was wrong. And Peter often only spoke for all the rest of them. That's all. And he knew. And if I knew anything about John, it was like a song on his lips. Lord, my soul can rest on you. If my soul can rest under the altar. Eh? If my soul can have a white robe. If my soul can be there. Now then, beloved, this moves on. I'd like you to look into the 12th chapter. And in the 12th chapter, we find something else about the testimony of God. All right. If you look here, it says this. And it says, he heard a voice. Or let's have a look at verse 7. There was war in heaven. You didn't think there was ever warfare in heaven, did you? There was war in heaven, it says. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives unto the death. They had the testimony. Praise God. The word of their testimony. Bless the name of the Lord. The devil came down here. And he accused. And he accuses. And he accuses. Some of you, you've been accused. You've been accused. And you've been accused. And God doesn't accuse. He's whispering encouragement inside. You've got the testimony of the devil. It's based on accusations. He accuses you. He says, you're not this. He says, you've done that. He says, you can't be forgiven for that. You can be forgiven for that and that and that and that, but not this. Look what you've done. You see. And he accuses you. And he accuses you. Of course you've lied. Of course you've cheated. Of course you've stolen. Of course you've fornicated. Of course you have. In the past, the devil comes back and says, you. And look at these people. They overcame him. They overcame him. Praise the name of the Lord. I said this to somebody the other day, didn't I, love? There she is. She's looking at me. I said to you, devil, he comes here and he binds you up and says, do you know what he couldn't stop her opening his mouth. Now then, this almighty devil couldn't stop her opening her mouth. And he had her believe in it. He got her bound up and she'd never been... And when she wanted to open her mouth, really, he couldn't stop it. Now, how about that? That's how weak the devil is. Don't you believe he's living on boasts, empty threats. He has no power whatsoever. Hallelujah. When a man knows his place in God, none at all. in here. She just decided to open her mouth and that was it. And I expect the devil gnashed and raised. What's there? There's somebody else showing us up now. Bit of a girl like that. Yeah. Well, that's it, you see. It's as simple as that. They overcame him. They didn't love their lives unto the death, praise God. They let their lives go for Jesus. And they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. What a glorious thing this is. They had the testimony. What do you do when the devil comes and accuses you? What do? You try all the tricks, do you? Throw the Bible at his head and it bounces off. What do? When the devil comes at you? Eh? You beat your breast, tear your hair out. Try all your favourite texts. Repeat all the formulae that you've been handed and it hasn't worked. All right, now come on, you be honest. You be honest. You be honest. Praise God. Do you know what overcomes the devil? Your testimony. The testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Devil, I shall not. See? I shall not. Praise God. See? Now, he doesn't give up lightly. You've got to give him his due. He's a good trier, or a bad one. And you are allowed to be tested by the devil, you see? And you have to stand on the testimony. They've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. Just as though the devil went and said, well, it's no good. You know, they've got the same testimony that Jesus Christ has. It's no good. You can't have. But the same testimony that Jesus Christ has. Have you got the same testimony that Jesus Christ had as a man? Have you? I've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. What's that? The testimony he was killed for. He hadn't got to love his life unto death for this. The testimony they crucified him for. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I am. That's it then. I'm the Son of God. That's right. That's the testimony that beats the devil. I'm a Son of God. I'm a Son of God. Glory. That's precious. and by the blood. Now you must be very careful about this blood, because you see, the place of the blood in the New Covenant is entirely different from the place of the blood in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was always exterior. It was sprinkled on walls and lintels. It was sprinkled on bits of gold. It was sprinkled on furniture. It was sprinkled on veils and twigs and cottons and rags, skins and everywhere. On people it was sprinkled, but not in the New Testament. You've got to come off this blood sprinkling business. You've got to come off it. Don't live in the Old Testament. Most people are living in the Old Testament attitude. They've been taught it too as being the guaranteed way. In the New Testament, the blood of the Lamb is all interior. Pardon?
You mean interior?
Inside. Yeah, amen. That's just exactly what I mean. And you see, you, beloved, have not been brought into a covenant of you sprinkling things all on everything, going all over your own, sprinkling it on the roof, sprinkling it on your bed, sprinkling it in the corner and in the kitchen and in the bathroom and everywhere else. And on your car, and on your best suit, and everything else, and believing you're doing something absolutely wonderful. Now I want to tell you, it's turning the blood into a superstitious token, and come off it. Doesn't matter you've been told by people to do it, it's wrong and it's rotten. It's trying to match the devil, because that's what the devil's agents do. Black magic people go blood sprinkling. Do you see? There's one thing you do with the blood of the new covenant, and you drink it. That's right. You drink it. I've drunk the blood. That frightens the devil to death. Amen. Glory be to God. You wonder that I say that people are living in the old covenant. And even in what's called Pentecostal circles, they're doing this, going round sprinkling the blood on every doorpost and lintel. And I know some people, they wouldn't get in their car without, so they think by faith, sprinkling it by blood. With blood. Where did you get that notion from? You show me one instance of it in the New Testament. Everybody's being carried back under the Mosaic order. Instead of on, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I've drunk the cup with him. I've drunk his blood. I'm living by that blood. Now, devil, see what you can do with that. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And the testimony is, because I've drunk that blood, that precious blood giver gave, I'm a son of God. That's my testimony. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. What a precious thing this is. Amen. Now come off everything else and live in the new covenant. And then you'll overcome the man, the one that accuses you. You'll overcome him every time. So the Lord moves on our lives. Oh, it's so precious, beloved, to know the great truth. The Bible tells us that it's the truth that sets you free. It isn't going here for superstitious practices. It's the truth that sets you free. All you need is freedom inside, and you'll have no trouble outside. Glory to God! Amen. Praise God. You know I've drunk that blood, and my new flesh has come from that blood. Like your baby's flesh in your womb, mother, came from that blood. That's right. That's where it came from. I've been conceived in the womb of God and brought forth of his seed, of his blood seed. And my flesh is of it. And the devil can't eat that. Amen. That's stronger meat than he can eat. But the children can eat it. Hallelujah. My word. This is what it says. Listen to the old Wesleys. They'll give you truth, beloved. Praise God. If you want to know anything really about the Holy Ghost, you must get back to the Wesleys. If you really want to know truth, you must get back there. They really are. Listen, he says, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. He didn't say it was the blood, he said it was the name. Wesley's right. When your life is built up from that blood and you bear that name, what chance has the devil got? None. Bless the name of the Lord. We move in this great realm. Amen. Right, you've got to be like Jesus walking on the earth. That's what it's about. That's your testimony. I'm a son of God. Now, let's go right back on, well, right on into the book of the Revelation. And we get to the 19th chapter. And in the ninth, oh, this is a marvellous chapter. Do you mind if I read a lot of it? What's the time? Oh, it's quite early yet. This is a great chapter. I tell you what, if ever you ask me to marry you, which please don't, I've had to decide so many people's marriage days. But I tell them I can only marry you this day or that day because I'm booked up everywhere else. So I could spend all my days marrying, all my Saturdays. Praise God for young people that are born of God and moving in power and want to get through on these things. Not just in some old building because it's all right. They want to be there amongst their brothers and sisters. And get married and lovely and wonderful. They're not worried about steeples and organs and things like that. Glory be to God. That's a notion out of the past. They want to be in the bosom of the family. They want somebody. That's right. And I get so many privileges dedicating people's babies and marrying the mums and dads that, you know, all that sort of thing that bring them to life. Amen. But I have even done the other when God's reached people. That's right. Hallelujah. Let's go on, shall we? But if I ever do preach at your wedding, it very probably it might be this chapter. I love this chapter. Chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. He judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever of the 24 elders, and the 4 beasts, living creatures, fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. She's been looking forward to this. She's getting her trousseau ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness, not of Christ, you notice, but of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Now you know where the prophetic ministry and gift comes from in the true church. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's Jesus testifying. Be careful if you have the gift of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Right the way down through history, beloved, it's been the testimony of Jesus. Glory, isn't that a precious thing? now, my beloved brothers and sisters. Have you got this testimony, Jesus? Supposing I pointed at you tonight and said, you, stand up. Stand up. Come on now, who are you? What are you? You've got the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. Mind you, your life would have been slain for it. You see, I tell you what, you try this out. You go amongst all your friends and say, have you had the baptism? Say, oh yes, glory, I had the baptism. Are you saved? Oh yes, marvellous. Are you converted? Yes, I'm converted. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. But see, if you go amongst them and say, do you know, I'm a believer. I say, well, that's fine. But you go amongst them and say, I'm a son of God. They go, you never hear people saying that, do you? I'm a son of God. Oh, Christ. Dare you say that? Let's hear you then.
I'm a son of God.
How's it you kept your mouth shut? Because it isn't true? I'm a son of God. God's my father. I'm a son of God. The testimony is in my heart. It is a precious thing. God's on oath. You don't hear many people saying they're sons of God, do you? Come on, you think. You heard anybody during the last week? You might have had references, like sort of oblique references, but someone to stand right straight up and say, I'm a son of God. A bit breathtaking, isn't it? A bit breathtaking. But it's all so clear. And do you know why you have so many difficulties? It's because you don't say that. It's because you can't say it, but I don't know who I'm talking to. You can't say it. But to be able to go out now, I tell you this, sister, you go back to Nigeria and you say, I'm a son of God. You'll have to give up your sex, I'm afraid. The notions of sons and daughters of God is Old Covenant. There are no daughters of God in the New Covenant. You see how your thinking is? It's all Old Testament, all that lot. Everybody's a son in the New Testament. You ladies, I'm sorry for you. Everybody's a son. I'm a son of God. Now then, Art, that's good enough for Columbia and all the devils in it. I won't go around everybody. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God. And do what you want with it. And give your back to the smiter. And give your cheek to them that pluck out the hair. And go like a lamb to the slaughter. And you've defeated death. You've defeated death. You're already in the tradition and likeness of him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Son of God. What a precious thing this is, to be able to stand here. I know why old Stephen could die like he died. I know why John could write like he wrote. I know why Debussy is languishing in that Paul in that Nepal jail tonight. I know why he's singing and glorying in it all. I know these things, beloved, don't you? I'm a son of God. Praise the name of the Lord. The testimony isn't in a box. It isn't two tablets of stone, this testimony of God. It's God on oath, in evidence, in my heart. Praise Him. Speaking His life as living oracles in my heart. Speaking it into me. So that I can live the life as God wants me to live it, for He would be a monster who made great demands of me and never enabled me to live what He demanded. But He's my God and my Savior, and I have that precious testimony. Have you got it? Hallelujah. Glory. I think I'm going to stop. Are you a son of God? Are you a son of God? Is the testimony of God in your heart? Is it? God on testimony, on earth. In your heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the Lord is wanting to give you this. You've got to go home. You're going to your places. It doesn't matter where you go, whether you go to this fellowship or that fellowship, or whether you go beyond the seas. This remains the same. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you are, you'll stand there. Lord, I don't care if they put me on some island of slaves. I'm there for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't care if they put me on some coliseum floor, some modern coliseum. I don't care if they do this or do that or do the other. I don't care. I'm your son. Amen. Amen. I don't care, Lord, whether they want me. If the very devil comes against me, I don't care. I'm your son. Amen. And don't think of yourself any more of going down under the accusations of the Lord of the devil. For I declare unto you that the testimony of God is greater than the voice of Satan. The testimony of God is greater than the curses of hell. Amen. He's on oath. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to do anything else but encourage you, encourage you, encourage you. And in the days when you think you can't, He'll say, you shall. You shall. Amen. That's my testimony to you, He'll say. That's my testimony to you. In your heart. And then, because it's in your heart, all that's in you and vital will warm and take courage. Your affections will be thrilled. Your emotions will be brought to peace. Amen. Everything will be right in your life because the testimony of God's there. Amen. Thank God the mediator of the new covenant never shattered the testimony of God. He kept it pure and glorious and poured out the blood of that wonderful covenant, that you might drink it, utterly drink it, And that you might know, beloved, that it doesn't matter what happens, you're more than a conqueror of the devil and of everybody else. And did you notice? In case you didn't notice it, we'll read the end part of Romans chapter 8. I say in case you didn't, because some of you weren't here when we read it a little earlier this week. But in the end of Romans 8, it says this. We'll start at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Now, I want you to read this very carefully, and I want you to notice there's something missing from these verses. That's what I want you to notice. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's missing? That's right. He isn't even accounted of. How about that? That'll show you how true the scripture is which says that Jesus destroyed the devil. Hebrews 2. Now then. Well, that's right. Mind you, it's not a mistake. It's not a slip of Paul's pen. It's just that he's not accounted of. He's not worth it. He's just lumped up in this crew, you know. No, not worth mentioning. No. He's just lumped up with all that crowd which says, oh, any other creature. Any other creature. We sing a hymn which says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Don't say, oh, magnify the devil. Some people have got a great big magnifying glass, and the devil's so small you can't see him. He's like a speck. And they have a big magnifying glass on him, and they magnify him. You see, until, and we're not careful, modern movements in charismatic circles be nothing but devil and witch hunters. That's what will happen. And we're here, beloved, for God. Amen. He's not worth mentioning. You would have thought the first thing, he would have put devil, capital D. The first thing you would have thought. Never crossed his mind. Never crossed his mind. Now I'll tell you why he never crossed Paul's mind. Because Jesus Christ crossed his path. That's the end of it. And beloved, we're in this glorious thing. And you'll find in the end, now you see, you'll find in the end, when we all get round that throne, you'll see that it's, a lot of it's been a hocus pocus. A lot of smoke out of the pit. That's all it's been. Yeah. Yeah. Glory be to God. Listen! Jesus Christ is come. He's here. The Holy Ghost is come. He's here. Praise the name of the Lord. The Son of God is come. He's here. Is that right? Where is he? Now then, you sons, you go home and live like a son. Amen. You live like a son. That's your privilege. Oh, I'd like to have. We, you know, what's the use of a week? I mean, how? You can't say anything in a week of what ought to be said, because the Lord has so much. He wants to move us and bless us and bring us into all this great thing. And listen, but now let's pray. Let's move together. And if there's anyone here that hasn't got this great assurance in their heart, tonight you can become a son of God. But what you've got to do is to stop tripping round the borders. Stop floating about on a cloud and come right down here.